In our first segment today, we'll find out why a New York filmmaker used a real scandal, the Tri-State Crematory scandal, as inspiration for a fictional story. We'll also find out how he convinced local residents to participate in the film about events they'd rather forget. The filmmaker, John Henry Summerhour, will be in Chattanooga in October, when the movie will be screened at Carmike Majestic 12. The movie has already won awards at Atlanta and San Francisco film festivals. Mike has the story.
Brent Marsh never explained why he did it, but what he did made national news.
Searchers in northwest Georgia continue to uncover more decaying bodies on the grounds of a crematory. The Federal Disaster Mortuary Team and other forensic specialists have been called in to assist with what authorities describe as a horrific scene.
Brent Marsh owned the Tri-State Crematory located in Walker County, Georgia. Marsh's job was incinerating bodies that funeral homes delivered. But Marsh didn't do his job. Instead, he took the bodies and hid them in various places like the woods or storage sheds. Police arrested Marsh when they found out what he was doing.
The owner of a North Georgia crematory faces more than 200 criminal charges for allegedly dumping hundreds of bodies that were supposed to be cremated.
That happened in 2002. Authorities found more than 300 uncremated corpses. A new feature film called Sakanaga uses that tragedy as a point of departure. Characters in Sakanaga live in a fictitious version of Walker County, where hundreds of uncremated corpses are suddenly discovered, and the characters are moved to contemplate life and the afterlife.
Do you believe in heaven?
Yeah.
Well, what about your body?
What about it?
Does it go to heaven with you?
No, just your soul.
Well, then I guess it doesn't matter then. All those people are out there rotting.
John Henry Summerhour wrote and directed the film. There is a reason why Summerhour, who lives in New York, paid attention to news reports about the 2002 scandal. He's a North Georgia native, a Ridgeland High graduate. He says the Tri-State Crematory was close to his hometown.
I could not believe that it was Noble, which is, you know, only a few miles from Chickamauga where I grew up. So, you know, my dad's a Methodist minister, and so he had conducted funerals for people who had been sent to that crematory, and my high school teacher's mother had been sent there and not cremated.
So you really do have a personal connection to these events.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, not only do I have a personal connection because it happened where I grew up, but I also know people who were affected by it. And I just, you know, it's something that when the story broke, I started thinking about what message does that give to teenagers and to kids growing up in this area? You know, like when you're growing up, you should have some sense of pride in where you come from. And if something this horrific and unfathomable can happen in your own backyard to the people you grow up around, it's just like, how do you digest that as a kid? And how do you have any sense of pride in your hometown?
Trauma counselors have been brought in, not only for the families, but also for the workers who've been uncovering the decomposing bodies. One searcher compared the scene to a horror movie.
And when something horrifying happens in your life and you witness it, I think it takes all of us back to the point of being a teenager and feeling confused and feeling like the world we thought we understood has been completely shattered, and so we no longer understand it, and we're grappling with what is truth and what is, like, what's happening in my world. And so, you know, the movie is essentially a coming-of-age story for this teenager, but it's really a coming-of-age story for an entire community because everybody has their innocence shattered through this event. And so I really started thinking about this event through the eyes of a teenager because I thought, you know what? I'm not an investigator. I don't know why it happened. I can't explain it to anybody. But what I can do is imagine what that must have been like for a young person who stumbled upon the first body.
The young man in the film who does that, who finds the first body, is named Paul. He's the point of view character, and the film shows how that gruesome discovery affects him and changes his life. It sounds like a pretty grim story, but there is a romantic subplot between Paul and a new girl in town, Lila.
You know, so in the middle of this horror story that's kind of unfolding, there's also this really sweet, innocent love story that's beginning to take shape.
Because Tri-State Crematory, what better setting for a teen romance?
That's right!
How do you explain this film to people who aren't familiar with the whole Tri-State scandal?
I actually feel like, in a way, it's easier to show the film outside the tri-state area because people in Boston, people in Berlin, people in Brazil, Ireland, out in San Francisco, when I've shown the film outside the Southeast, people come in with almost no expectations. They're like, let's see what the story is. Let's see what happens. And so they're very curious, and they can be more objective about it. Whereas when you show it anywhere near the tri-state area and where this happened, emotions are very high. People are scared. Like, what is this movie going to be like? Is it going to be, you know, is it going to be hurtful or is it going to be cathartic? Like, I don't think people are really know what to expect. And so I think for people to come and watch the movie, take some courage. It takes a moment for people to watch it and say, okay, like, this is something that's completely different. It's not about the Marsh family. It's not about the Tri-State Crematory. It really is like a bigger metaphor for a small town in the South.
The real Brent Marsh, we still have no answers. We still don't know why he did what he did.
No.
Do you try to address that all in the film? Try to imagine why he might have done that?
No, I felt like for me to be as honest as I could be, I needed to maintain that mystery because also I think when you go see movies, a lot of the time, or a Law and Order episode, anything that's fictional, they wrap it all up in a nice bow. They explain it away like, oh, his father beat him and his mother died when he was young and, you know, et cetera,
yeah,
et cetera. So that explains the psychology behind it. And I think part of the reason why people in the tri-state area still have some unresolved issues about this case is because we don't have any closure. We don't know why he did it. Nobody can explain it. And I think that's real life. So it's I really wanted to reflect that in the film. So in the movie, the crematory operator is a supporting character, and you only see him when the teenager is seeing him, and you only see him in his interaction with his teenager. So, you know, the film,
yeah,
definitely ends on that note of we don't know why this happened, but what can we do as a community to move forward? How do we heal? You know, where do we turn? Is it our family? Is it our church? Like, what are the elements in a small southern town that people really lean into in a time of crisis so that they can pick up the pieces and move forward?
If you're just joining us, we're talking with John Henry Summerour. He wrote and directed a new feature film called Sakanaga. He says that's a Cherokee word that means Great Blue Hills of God. Summerour is a Walker County native, and the film was inspired by the Tri-State Crematory scandal that happened in Walker County in 2002. Summerour used local, non-professional actors and crew members for his film. In this YouTube clip, a behind-the-scenes clip, the lead actor discusses his background.
I'm Trevor Newhoff. I'm playing Paul in Sakanaga, film by John Henry Summerour. First time acting on film, other than the short. I've done a bunch of theater through Baylor, where I've been the past 4 years, and some stuff at the Chattanooga Theater Center, but this is my first major film project, which is exciting to get into.
What was the reaction of the people you worked with, the actors here, the local people who were actually connected to these real events as they were filming this? How did they react to your story?
I have to say it was a really amazing experience where the community totally opened up their arms and they helped out. So many people came to be extras in the film, and people let us shoot in their houses and on their property. And we got, on a 21-day shoot, we had every meal donated from,
wow,
volunteer people around the community who were bringing in food. So it was just a really loving, supportive environment. But I really think the only reason that happened is because I'm from the area and because my dad had, you know, a ministry in the area that touched some people for 14 years. And so whenever I approached people and they heard my last name, Summerour, they'd say, are you Larry Summerour's son? And I'd say, yeah. And they'd like, you know, they just said, whatever you want. And
that,
so I kept,
yeah,
telling my parents, the success of the film is in many ways a testament to the impact they had in the area, you know?
That really is around here. That is a big deal. Family, who you are, who your family is, where you come from, it still very much matters here in the,
yes,
South.
Yeah. So I'm lucky that my parents left such a good impression because, you know, had I not been from the area, I really don't think, I don't think I would have gotten any help or any open doors because, to be honest, this is not something that people from Walker County and from the tri-state area want to be remembered for. You know, I think there's still a lot of shame associated with the crematory and, like, how could something like this happen, you know?
Yeah.
So really, people had to trust me with their personal stories, and you know, trust that I was going to do something that was that wasn't sensational or exploitative, but really looked at this situation in a very serious, meaningful way. So that was my goal all along, was to make something that could be very inclusive, but also, you know, that wasn't just going to be simplistic. I wanted to try to uncover a lot of those layers that make the South such a dynamic place.
It's going to show here from October 12th through Thursday, October 18th. You'll be here in town. What are you planning to do in terms of publicity while you're here?
Well, we are going to be, the lead actor, Trevor, who graduated from Baylor, he is now at NYU, and he's studying film. And so he's going to come down from New York, and all the other actors are still down there. And so we're just going to get together and make appearances. We're going to be on Don Welch's This and That. We're going to be on the morning show on WDEF in that week, and I'm setting up a speaking engagement at my alma mater at Ridgeland.
Yeah.
And so I'm just really trying to be out in the community talking to people. And also, you know, part of the success of making the film, I think, is that I made myself as transparent as possible and as available as possible. So if people have any questions or if they're uncomfortable or just, you know, just want to know more about what the experience is going to be like or what the film is going to be like, you know, I want to make sure that I'm there to answer questions. So I'll be around in the community. I'll be hanging out at the Majestic, handing out postcards. And, you know, I encourage people to come and talk to me and say hello.
Again, the film is called Sakanaga. It's going to show at the Carmike Majestic 12 in Chattanooga starting on Friday, October 12th. For WUTC's Around and About, I'm Michael Edward Miller.